A popular Outcast production.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of What the Hell with Nathan Prell. I'd just like to say that I appreciate you coming back every week, and there are many ways that you can help make this show better. First, you can give me your feedback, what works, what doesn't, and what are topics or segments you'd like to hear. You can tweet at the podcast at WTH_Prell, or to me at TheNathanPrell on Twitter. You can also comment on Facebook or at the site www.whatthehell.popularoutcasts.com. And while you're there, if you clear your cookies and click on the Amazon banner to do all of your online shopping, the Popular Outcast Network gets a little cut, which will help everyone on the network. And finally, tell your friends about this podcast. Thanks again for listening, and enjoy the show.
Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing. Hee-hee-hee-hee-hee. You put any of that on there, I'll kick your ass.
Okay, so hopefully the dogs don't make too much noise. All right, welcome to What the Hell is Nathan Prell. I'm your host, Nathan Prell. What a surprise. My guest today is my mom, Carrie Prell.
Hello.
So I figured a good follow-up to my dad's episode would be an episode with my mom. So this is it. She doesn't have as good a memory as my dad, so she probably won't have as good of stories. All right. Why don't you tell them a bit about yourself, Mom?
Well, I am the number 5 child out of 8 children. It's actually my birthday today. It won't be when you hear this, but the day of recording, it's my birthday. I'm 54 years old. I do have an Irish twin. My Irish twin is my sister Kim. What that means is we are born within 12 months of each other. We're 11 months apart, so right now we're the same age. I have 5 sisters, 2 brothers, and that's about it, I guess.
Okay. What was it like growing up with so many siblings?
It was great. I had a friend who was an only child, and she didn't know how to get picked on and beat up on, and always felt sorry for anybody with only a little bit. We never bored. No matter where we went, we always had someone to hang with, play with. We were all a year to a year and a half apart, except for the last two who were younger. And so we always had a playmate with us, rain or shine. Or if any of our friends couldn't play, there was always someone to hang out with. So it was pretty cool.
And you guys, yeah, because you guys didn't have a lot of money growing up, right?
No.
Because dad's family seemed like they were pretty okay.
We were probably lower middle class. We weren't really poor. We always had food on our plates, a roof over our head, and clothes. Most of our clothes were homemade or hand-me-downs, but that was just because of what you did back then. But we never really ever went without. I know sometimes money was tight, but as kids we never knew it because my mom was an awesome cook, and when you were eating beans and that's all you had, you thought that was just a gourmet meal. So,
yeah, Grandma did cook really well.
Yeah, she was an awesome cook.
How many kids were ever at the house when you were there?
6. There was always 6. By the time the 2 youngest ones came around, I think the 2 oldest ones were getting ready to move out. Maybe 7. So I'd always say there was probably always 6 of us in the house at one time.
All right. Did you guys always live in
On Genoa? That house?
Yeah.
No. I was born in Ventura. I lived there till the age of 4. That was on Maple Street. Then we moved to Simi Valley. Lived on Wallace. Then we moved over to Drake Drive, where we lived a couple years. Then we moved over to Genoa. And that's where I lived until I moved out as an adult.
Yeah, because that's the only house I've ever known. Because that's where... Because Christy still lives there.
I think since 1964, I think, is when we moved into that house.
All right. Yeah, because we've seen old videos of when you guys first moved in there, when Grandpa Dick died, and we had he had a bunch of old the old videos, you know,
with the fort. We had they built us a fort, and we had an old playhouse for a while, and we had a fort and a tree, a big old fort. It wasn't in the tree; it was huge fort. Up on stilts. It was pretty cool.
All right. Because that tree's not even there anymore, right?
No.
Because there were two trees in the backyard, and one of them...
There was actually three trees in the backyard.
Oh, well, I wasn't around for the third tree then.
No.
Because I remember there was two trees, and there's only one tree now.
The climbing tree.
Yeah.
As you guys know it. We had the tree that's no longer there that was in the middle of the yard that was our climbing tree.
I don't think I ever climbed that tree. I think they tore it down before I was big enough to actually, reach some of the branches, probably.
It was probably by that time we tore it down. I probably couldn't even reach some of the branches. It was so tall.
All right. So, what were some things that you liked to do as a kid?
We were pretty much tomboys, believe it or not, since most of us, the majority of us were girls in the family. Played cowboys and Indians, played a lot of Hot Wheels. My mom had a dirt area in the back that we were allowed to play in, dig holes in. We used to have carnivals at our house. We'd make up these little cheap carnivals. You got to talk to some of the other family when they're out, and those were the good old days. And we'd charge, I think, a dime or something and have games and have little really cheap prizes. And
then, the neighborhood kids would just come over?
Neighborhood kids would come over. And we'd have these little carnivals.
How did that come about?
I don't know. I'm sure it was one of my older brothers and sisters.
You just made things?
Yeah. Throw the beanbag through the hole or I don't know what else. But, yeah, we had a whole little carnivals out in our backyard.
I've never heard that story.
Yeah.
Why didn't we do that at the last reunion or something?
I don't know. Maybe you need to talk to your aunts and uncles.
Yeah, we need to get that back together.
Definitely. Definitely. We used to also have yard work days, and because we lived on a quarter-acre lot and two houses on there. We had a lot of greenery, and we used to have yard work days that we couldn't go out and play with our friends until the yard was done. So all the neighbors would come over, and they wanted us to play, so they would help do the yard work. And then my mom would take us out for thrifty ice cream. But, yeah, we used to have even the neighbors would come over and help us do all our yard work, too, just so we can go hang out and play. It was cool growing up in my neighborhood. We all had friends our age. Everyone hung out at our house. My mom was the best. She'd make the Play-Doh. She would, make the homemade cookies. So all the neighborhood kids hung out at our house. And there would be a few nights a year, or I'm not really sure how often, that we could each have one. So there'd be six of us that would each have one friend stay the night, all at the same time. So it was pretty cool.
Each of you had one friend at the same time?
Yeah.
Stay over?
At the same time, stay over. And one time when we had one of these stay over parties, one of the girls forgot something at home, so we went home to get it. And when she came back, there was a snake on the entryway, so she went down to get it, thinking it was a fake snake that we were playing a trick on her, and the snake took off down the hallway. And then we're all screaming and yelling and jumping on top
Wait,
of the couch.
In the house?
In the house. And we're all screaming and yelling and jumping on the piano and the couches and everything. And so my dad comes down the hall to yell at us, and he encounters the snake. And, of course, he got the snake out and, chopped it up and buried it. And it ended up being, I think, like a king snake or a gopher snake. It was a harmless snake, but at the time when it's slithering in your house, it's a little scary.
Did you know that
your kids?
If a snake has king in its name, that means it eats other snakes.
Well, I wasn't a snake, but it was still scary when you're young.
Oh, yeah. I would have been afraid of a snake, too.
Yeah.
All right. What was it like being a teenager?
It was tough. My dad was strict. He never let you do anything. He thought you were always going to do something wrong.
Yeah, because Dad seemed to get away with a lot more stuff.
Oh, no, we couldn't get away. Well,
and you're only a year younger than Dad, so...
No, you didn't get away with much because we had a mom that needed to know where you were at all times, so and what you were doing. So it was hard to get away with anything. We did get away with some things, don't get me wrong. I wasn't a perfect child. My poor mom, I don't know how she lasted to the age of 80 with 8 teenagers that she had to go through, but...
All right, so you did lots of drugs too, right?
I didn't do lots of drugs. I used to smoke pot. I did cocaine for a while. Cross tops, that's what Bob couldn't remember what they were called. They were cross tops, and he kept saying...
Did you listen to Deb's episode?
Yeah, I listened to Deb's episode. Right. I never did the shrooms or the Black Beauties. That kind of stuff scared me. But I got to about 23 or so, and I realized a lot of my past, growing up in a dysfunctional family, and some other things that happened to me as a child, started coming too. And I started realizing I wasn't such a terrible person. Got away from the cocaine, got away from the pot. I didn't smoke that much pot anyways. It always put me to sleep as soon as I stopped talking. I never really drank a lot. Not really that much. But so I would say probably by the time I was 25, maybe, there was no other drugs in my life. Maybe a couple times of pot after that, but that was it. I just, thank goodness, with all the addiction in my family, that I didn't end up being addicted to anything.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
What did you have any crazy stories? Any crazy pot stories?
Crazy pot stories? Yeah. When I worked for this one company that I worked for, back in the day, you could go out to drink. You could go out to lunch with clients and have hard alcohol and drink. It was acceptable.
Yeah.
We'd go out with the attorneys and have hard alcohol and drinks. It was back in the day, that's just what you did. So we would go, a lot of times at lunch, we'd go out to the empty park or the fields and smoke pot at lunch. Well, one day, Vicky, I think it was her brother or somebody had just come back from Hawaii. So she says, let's go to her house for lunch. So a whole bunch of us went to her house for lunch, and her brother had something called Maui Wowie. And so we were smoking that at lunch, and we laughed so hard all the way back to work. I don't even know how she got us back to work. And then we were dying laughing, but we knew that our supervisor, because her kids, Betsy's kids always got high and everything, we knew that she was going to know as soon as we walked in that we were loaded. So we didn't want to get caught. So we all looked at each other and said, okay, no talking. So we worked in a file bank. And you could talk, and we'd make people laugh as we talk over the file banks and stuff. And so we didn't talk the rest of the day because we knew if one person said one thing to anything, we'd all start cracking up laughing again. And Betsy would come by and say something to us, and one of us would start to laugh, and we'd have to quit. But I don't know. It doesn't sound probably funny on tape or the story, but we were laughing so hard that... Yeah, it was just crazy.
Was this at the when you were working insurance? Or
insurance, many years ago.
All right.
When I used to do before I started even doing claims, it was when I was still only in the file department. So.
All right. Do you have any other stories from when you were a teenager?
When I was a teenager, I probably have tons, and I have a terrible memory. I blame it on my childhood. That I do not remember a lot of my past, but I know one time my parents were getting divorced, and my dad was taking us to the beach, and we were in the back of the camper, and Kim and I were smoking cigarettes in the back of the camper. Now, my dad smoked, so there's no way he was going to know, and I guess before we stopped or pulled, I'll have to ask, I don't remember how it worked. We thought we got away with smoking the cigarettes, and my dad found out and asked, and Kim blamed it on me. That wasn't nice, Kim, and I got in trouble for that. Kim and I again, we went to the beach with my friends, and we were supposed to be back at a certain time, and the sister who's stupid threw the keys to somebody, lost them in the sand. So we told her she had to call my dad to tell her why we were going to be late because she lost the keys. And so she says she did, but she didn't. So when we got home, like our 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, of course, getting drilled because my dad's, and of course my mom's worried, but my dad's drilling us what happened. He didn't believe us. We kept thinking we were lying. So I remember Kim told a lie to him. I don't remember what the lie was. Something that he would believe, and he believed it. And we got grounded, but... I mean, I did a lot of crazy-ass things, a lot of stuff. I don't remember everything. I wasn't the best of a child, but I wasn't the worst because I didn't get caught at a lot of things.
Well, that's still bad.
But I started smoking pot at a young age, started smoking cigarettes. And we'd steal them from my grandparents who lived in our back house. Pall Mall, non-filter. Those are the most disgusting things in the world. But...
All right. I forgot the next question I was going to ask you. Crap. I had a question lined up, and I forgot what it was.
Don't know what to tell you.
How was school for you? So, yeah, how was school?
School was tough. Grade school was tough also. Like I said, there was something that happened in my childhood that just kind of screwed with me and things. I wasn't a good student at all. I barely passed my classes with, you know, C's, and I may have got a couple B's. But it was tough. I had a very tough time in school. Then when I was in 12th grade, I was 18 because I had stayed behind a year in grade school. And so when I started 12th grade, a few weeks after, I was 18, so I could write all my own notes. Well, in 11th grade, I ditched so much that they actually finally called my dad in, because even though I had signed notes, I had a lot of, I just was out a lot. But I decided, wow, school's important. But it was kind of late by then.
What were your excuses for why?
I don't know what my excuses were, but my friend Sherry signed them all. And then... no wonder my mom never wanted me to hang out with her half the time. But then I started taking school serious in 12th grade. I was also involved in church. My life was kind of on a straight road at that time. So things were good in my life. And so 12th grade was pretty good.
All right. And you guys grew up Catholic?
Grew up Catholic because that's when you got married. The woman got married to a Catholic, you had to take on the man's religion back then. But my mom wasn't. So when my parents got divorced, my mom went back to, she went to Baptist church. And I was baptized Baptist 17 years old, I think, 16, 17. So we'd gotten away from the Catholic church.
Okay. Did you go to Catholic schools at all? Or?
No, I had to go to catechism. Got in a fight with a girl there. I called her a name in school, and then all her friends, they got in a circle and made us fight. I think she walked away with a black eye, walked away with a fat lip in the parking lot at catechism.
What's catechism?
It's some, like a Sunday school, but it's every Wednesday for so long and Catholic, and then you get the certificate, and then you're allowed to go to confession. I guess you're not allowed to confess your sins until you go in the catechism. I don't know. I don't understand the religion at all.
What's it called? And you get your second name?
I don't know.
When you get confirmed?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know how Catholic works.
I don't
works.
Know either.
All right.
If you get a second name, I don't know what mine is, so I don't know if I even got one.
You probably didn't get confirmed then.
Yeah, I did. We had to.
Yeah?
Yeah, they made us.
Oh. Well, I don't know then.
Yeah.
I thought you choose a second name like it's supposed to be like a saint's name or something.
I don't know, I'm already a saint, so it doesn't matter.
Whatever. All right, let's see. We got a bit of how you and Dad met and his story. So, you were working at an insurance place. And part-time at...
At the Bar Fingers. And I worked Friday and Saturday nights. And I got the job because I used to go there and play darts. He had dart boards, and we had dart tournaments there. So I got the job from that. And your dad would always ask me out. Oh, you want to go out? And, oh, because I knew he did drugs. I am not stupid. I knew what him and his friend were doing, and I was done with guys who did drugs. So he'd always ask me. So one day he bought me a rose that lit up. It had a battery in it, light on it. I don't know. And so I gave him the first three numbers to my phone number. Well, back in the day, God, I sound like I'm like way old. a certain area in the town only had like three sets of the first three prefixes.
Yeah.
Not now where you're going to have, you know, 20 different sets of prefixes in one town. So there's no way you could figure it out. So I was supposed to go out on a date with somebody, and the guy called up and canceled. He was sick. So I went into where I work, decided to hang out there. Had a couple shots of apple schnapps, and I was hanging out with the bartender, and your dad was there. So I went up to him, and I can't believe he doesn't remember this, because I remember it. And I said, "What's your name again?" And his friend Dave Parker loved that because I didn't remember his name. And then we were talking, so he wanted to know if we'd go out. I said I agreed to go out with him. And then the next day he called me. I said, yeah, I'm going to go out. And then when I saw him again on the weekend, he says, he was telling me, oh, you know, I'm a good guy. You know, I've got a daughter. I've done this. He kind of gave me a little brief synopsis of where he was in his life. And he says, and if you don't believe me, or if you want to check me out, talk to my brother. So I looked at him and said, yeah, right. Like, I'm going to believe your brother. And he says, well, you work with him. So I didn't know the bouncer at the bar the whole time was his brother.
Really?
Yeah.
Which one?
Rick was the bouncer.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know. They look nothing alike. They have the same mom but different dads.
Yeah.
And so I think it made it easier that when I did go out with them.
Yeah, I think Dad left that part out of the story when he was saying.
Yeah, he probably doesn't remember. Other than his excessive cocaine use, he was a good guy. He was, you can see he's a good guy. He had a child. Tabitha was, I think, 6 years old at the time we met. He was a very involved father. To me, that was very important. I think if you're going to date somebody who has a child, if they are not involved in their life, I would never even think of dating somebody with a child, because what kind of father would they be to their own children? I guess he remembers. We went to a concert on our first, went to dinner and a concert or something like that on our first day. We'd gone to the beach. I fell for him pretty hard.
And who did you see?
I don't know. He'll tell you.
Did he say in the episode? I don't remember.
No, I don't think he did. It was some rock band, and I'm not into all that hard rock and stuff. But we went. We had a good time. And we were seeing each other all the time. But I couldn't handle his cocaine use anymore, so we broke up. Before we broke up, he said, okay, no, I'll get better. All I won't do, whatever. Because it was more important to him to go and get more cocaine than to be with me. Or if I'd call him, he wouldn't answer the phone if he knew he was doing cocaine or whatever. So it was just because he knew it would upset me. So we finally broke up. He spent a week of binging on cocaine, I think, just whatever. And I think that's what it was. I just realized this isn't what I want. He realized, I guess, the person he was hanging out with or the people, it just wasn't what he wanted. And then what he told you in his episode, he asked me to look up through his insurance to find out where he could go, what it's going to cost. And then we set it up. And I think it was like the next week his ex-wife's sister was getting married, which was their next-door neighbor. So they're all close. They're all very close. And so we went to her wedding and then turned around and checked him into rehab. Right. So
what did you think about Dad? Because he's pretty weird now. What was he like back then?
Very, very quiet. Like I said, our first time, when he came to get me for our first date, I was living back at home by now. I had moved out and was living back at home. And my mom even said to me, what is he seeing you? He's so quiet and you don't shut up. What is it? You know, I said, I don't know.
The McCoys are very loud.
We are very loud, except for maybe one sister. Karen's not loud. She's the quieter one, the more reserved, but just as big as a heart and a great person as the rest of us.
Yeah. The McCoys and Prells are very different types of people.
Well, Pam's kind of crazy.
Well, yeah.
The rest are kind of quiet.
Everyone, because Dad's family is... No one really talks to each other that often. Like, Dad and Aunt Pam kind of talk. But everyone's kind of to themselves. No one calls anybody.
I think it's the way it's raised. not that it's a bad thing. I don't want to make it sound like this, but because his mother decided to become Jehovah's Witness when they were teenagers, there was never any get-togethers or holidays. So the family never got together because you didn't get together for birthdays or Christmas or anything. So someone had to have some reason to get together. Where at my house, with the eight children, even though they had five and we had eight, you always had someone's birthday.
Yeah.
Or there was always Christmas, or there was always Easter, or there was always a holiday. We celebrated every single holiday. And in big fashion. I mean, we didn't go all out financially, but we always got together.
Yeah, I know Easter was always pretty big when we lived out in California.
And then when we had the kids, then there was always somebody's birthday. So whoever lived in the area, if your kid had a birthday, everybody came over. As the same with the neighbor kids that were our age, if them and their kids would come over. So it was always a big thing. So we always had that. So we were always together. My mom loved us always getting together and being together. That was her thing. Your Grandma Beverly, she was very involved in her church and the Jehovah's Witness and stuff like that. And since you don't celebrate anything, there was no... So anyway, so with that, I see it as a bad thing because everything that we did... Now, for many years, Bob's sister, your dad's sister, your Aunt Pam, and Uncle Rick would always come to my mom's house for Thanksgiving and other holidays. They would come there and have their holidays with us for a while.
Yeah.
Then, of course, you know, with their families or whatever, a lot of times, then they, you know, went off on their own. That's how your Aunt Josie, your dad's, your Aunt Uncle Rick's wife, knows my mom because they would come over all the time for Thanksgiving. So even after we moved away, Rick and Josie would still go to my mom's house for Thanksgiving, even when we weren't there.
Yeah, I think that is pretty cool that our families, both sides, are pretty close. Like, yes. Everyone's kind of involved in everything.
Mm-hmm.
But what did Grandma think of Dad?
From what she knew of him, he was a nice, quiet guy. That's all she knew. She didn't know anything
else.
She
didn't know about it? Cocaine and stuff?
Not until... probably not until I think we broke up and I told her and she knew. I mean, she lived with my dad who was an alcoholic.
Yeah, so she could probably see the signs and stuff.
Well, you know, I don't think those signs are there. I don't remember, to be honest with you, but I think she was concerned because then he went into rehab and of course she was very proud of him and she was supportive of him and everything. I think she was still concerned that, that he would fall off the wagon or something and then how that would be, you know, in the family because we got married 9 months after he got sober. And, of course, everyone tells you not to, but coming up on 27 years of marriage, so...
Yeah, it worked out.
Somebody knew something, so... but, no, she just thought he was too quiet for how loud I am.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
What did you think of Dad's family, then?
Dad's family was different because it was something that I wasn't used to. I remember being over at his house and his stepdad would jiggle the glass when he was out and Beverly would get up and get more tea for him or whatever he was drinking. You know, or watch when we were sitting there and, Tracy or Rick would come home and she'd, you know, Bev would say, well, what do you want? And she'd make them whatever they want. It was a whole different lifestyle of how I was growing up where everyone ate dinner at 6 o'clock.
And you got what you were given.
This is what you're made. This is all there is.
Yeah.
You know, and if you wanted something to drink, you got up and got it. You did this. I mean, my dad, for his beer, because my mom would never have gotten him his beer. Actually, my mom wouldn't even buy his beer. He had to buy his own. He'd get us to get it. And we'd get a drink if we got it. So my dad was smart, even though it tasted terrible as a kid, but you got a couple sips of beer. That was a big thing. You know, so just different things like that. It was very different. But they were very into spoiling the grandkids rotten. You will not know how much that was because I put a stop to it. Because they would come over, and the kids would come over and be, are we going to go to Chuck E. Cheese? Are we going here or whatever? And Bev would just stop and, you know, like, and Richard would kind of just do whatever. Kids would not have to do anything. I wanted the kids to know that it wasn't, they have to earn things. I just think that I don't believe in just being given everything.
Yeah.
You know, so every time the kids came over, they thought they were getting something. They thought they were And this is before I had you guys. I watched this with Tabitha and some of the other grandkids.
We had some of that. You had some, over but there.
It wasn't as...
Because, like, whenever we would go and visit Grandma Beverly, we'd go to, like, the... We went to Chuck E. Cheese a lot and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and then every time Rick would come over, they usually brought us presents.
Well, not everything, but it was a little different. It was very... Every time one of the grandkids came over, they expected something. Because that's the way it was being given. I didn't want you to ever expect anything from your grandparents.
I guess we didn't really expect it. It was just like a, oh, we're going to see Grand Beverly, and then, right. Oh, hey, we get to do this.
Right. But some of the other ones, I saw it happening that every time, that's what they thought. I didn't want it to be a competition of you love this grandma more because they take you places when this grandma can't afford to take you anywhere. I wanted you to respect the grandparents. So if they said, hey, can you help me with the yard work, you would just do it, not because now they're going to take you to Disneyland.
Yeah.
And so a lot of it was just out of a respect for the grandparents also. I just didn't want you to be given everything without at least maybe earning some of it, something. Not always, but a lot of the times. Because every time, let's go to Chuck E. Cheese. Let's go get ice cream. Let's go do it. Every single time, it doesn't have to be. You can go to your grandparents' house and sit and play in the backyard or play with their toys without ever having to leave the house to go someplace.
Yeah. Because growing up, you know, at Grandma James' house, I had to do yard work and I would get a soda. And that was the coolest thing ever. And then at Grand Beverly's, all I did was play with Legos. I never really had to do anything over there, but
you know,
just
played
with Legos, and I was fine with that.
Right, which is fine, but a lot of the times the kids never wanted to just sit and play. They would want to go someplace.
Yeah.
And I didn't want that. It's not because you can just sit and play and have just a good time spending your time with your grandparent, even at the age of 5, than having to go to Chuck E. Cheese or go there, because at that time now you're not even spending time with them.
Yeah.
Not really. You're off playing games or doing whatever, and there's no...
Yeah.
No storytelling or whatever.
You did a pretty good job at raising me and Shaylee.
I hope so. I know I had my pitfalls. I'm not the best parent. I know I'm not the best parent in the world or the perfect parent, but I think I'm the best for who I am. And I can go back, and I won't mention because I won't say it. I can see some times where I probably failed, but I think I've recovered and made things better. But
yeah.
But I never beat you guys. I mean, you maybe, but...
Well, yeah. Well,
Shaylee never did anything wrong as a kid. I probably spanked her 3 times in her whole life. My hand used to hurt spanking you.
Yeah.
As a baby, as a child, toddler. And I used to have to hold you in timeouts. And then I'd finally just put you in your room, and you would tear apart your whole room. That's one of the reasons you have your middle name as Nathan Monster Prill, as what we used to call you as younger, or the Tasmanian Devil. Because you would rip your whole room apart when you'd get in trouble and get sent to your room.
I had a lot of energy.
You had a lot of energy, and then I would be afraid there was going to be holes in the wall sometimes.
Well, I did put a hole in the closet door when we were moving out.
Yeah, but that doesn't count.
That
but
was
just
an
from you just tearing, and then you'd finally fall asleep, and when you'd wake up, I'd make you clean your room, put it back together, and as long as you were actively cleaning your room, I would then come in and help you. But you'd have to be cleaning it for a while. But you were a handful. Grandma Jane used to always say that you just had anything you put your mind to, that you'll be able to do it. That you were just...
And I put my mind to messing things up.
No, just not that you're a bad kid or anything, that you were just a determined child.
Yeah.
So.
That kind of leads us into my next question, which is, why did you want a second child? Was Shaylee not good enough?
Actually, if I would have had you first, I would not have had another child. Shaylee was so easy. She was so happy. She was so... There was nothing that ever bothered her, ever, even from a baby to whatever. She was simple as can be. So if I would have had you first, I probably wouldn't have had another child. Because you were so much energy that I don't know if I could have handled another one. But Shaylee was so easy. It's like, hell, let's have another one. That's a true story. However, I always wanted 2 children.
Right.
I always wanted to hopefully have a boy and a girl. So because your dad already had a girl, if I would have had a boy first, would have I had another one? I don't know. Probably. I always wanted 2 children.
How was it with Tabitha? Like, what was that like for you?
Love Tabitha to death. Love her as if she was my own. The hardest part, and I know it's not fair to say this, but I think if I ever had to do it over again at a younger age, of course now it's different that I'm older, I don't think I ever would have dated anybody with a child or who did not have full custody of a child. Because what a child will do is they play their mother against their father, or they play their step parent against their real parents, and they put a wedge in and they do make it very difficult. So to start out in a new marriage, it's hard anyways, getting to, you know, just to get everything done, learning to live with each other, whatever. We lived with each other for a few months before we got married, but not for a long time. But now we have a child in there who you can't spank, who you can only yell to a point, you know, discipline to a point, and that goes home and tells her mom things that aren't true just to get what she wanted or to get them to fight or whatever. Very difficult.
Yeah.
She was not as difficult doing that as some other kids out there in the world, you know, that do with step parents, but she's probably nowhere near as some other kids, you know, that we know.
Yeah.
Of playing back and forth with their parent, their step parents and their parents. But it was something different for me. I never experienced something like that. It was just kind of difficult.
Yeah.
But other than that, she was great. She, most of the time, she was always very respectful and stuff. And when it traded for the world, I'd want to trade the parts of when she was at a younger age, when she would throw her, you know, with the play the mom and the dad and the stepmom against each other. But other than that, she was really a good kid. I was very lucky. Good student. Made it easy.
All right. And you worked in insurance for a long time.
Like 30, 33 years.
And you were in claims for some of it.
Yeah.
So do you have any crazy stories?
Just some weird claims like we would have. I don't know if there's really, remember any crazy ones. We'd have claims that we'd have to handle where they were, the drunk guy was running across the street with his grandchild and they get hit by a car because they ran out in front of it. And then they try to sue, you know, and of course we, you know, would fight it. And of course they can't, win because, they were be able to prove the guy was drunk. But of course we pay out whatever we could for the grandchild who had no choice in the matter.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I had to handle some death ones, which weren't really pretty. I think the one that always sticks out in my mind, when we were handled, there was a couple of ARCO claims. And when they used to call them swoop and sweep, or the swoop, oh my gosh, I can't even think what they're called now. Where the people would put people in their car, and then they would match it up where they have a couple cars. Well, one would hurry and fly in front of the other car, slam on their brakes, so the car behind them will slam on their brakes, and these two cars are in on it together so they can get hit by an ARCO tanker truck so they can file claims, not thinking that, yeah, when all of them die in the car because they didn't leave enough room.
Yeah.
This is the stupid things people do.
Were there a lot of, there like, was,
quite a few of those kind
like
of
that?
Oh yeah, all the time, all over the place. Then we also had where we did a potato chip company. We did what we call a self-insured. We just handled the claims the companies really paid for it themselves. And we'd have one with a potato chip company where there was a mouse in the Cheeto bag or the cheese puff. I'm not sure which one it was. And so we would get the pictures of it all. And you would see the Cheeto mouse and things like that. You know, just stupid things. I did mainly auto. Then I went to homeowners or property claims. And there was a property claim where there was a dry cleaner that burnt up in L.A. And most of the stuff, people had to, you know, have your dry cleaner tag. You can show whatever. So you had to show proof what you had in the cleaners.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of the cleaner stuff of the copies, but a lot of it burned up. And one man, I was trying to get all his information, and from everything I could see, I did not believe the man had anything in the cleaners. From what the cleaners had, that didn't burn up, and he had nothing. It didn't sound like from the cleaners they knew the name, that this guy had anything in the cleaners. He was having a large, said he had all the stuff in there. And so he decided that I was racist since I wasn't paying. Now, I had no idea what race this man was. So, and he had no idea what race I was.
Yeah.
But he was determined based on the fact that I wasn't paying, that I was white, found out the gentleman was black, and he was older, and he decided that I wasn't playing the game because he was racist. Called me all kinds of names. I usually can handle all kinds of names, but I just finally told him I wasn't going to handle his claim anymore, and he had to talk to my supervisor. So he called me about three more times, but I refused to talk to him, and he had to deal with my supervisor, and they never paid him anything. He didn't have a claim.
Yeah.
But that's it, I guess.
Did you like selling insurance better or the claims?
I love the claims. It was a lot of work. I have to bring home my laptop or the computer a lot of times after work and still work after you guys went to bed at night. I would stay up late at night working. So it was a lot of work. When I worked for the agent's office, I luckily had three great, awesome bosses. I was so lucky that I had three great bosses. I don't want to say I sold to where I went out and did cold calls and stuff like that. I would write policies if somebody came into the office. I'm not a good seller. If I have to go out and try to sell you a policy, call you up and say, hey, can I give you a quote on a policy? I wasn't good at that, but if you came in and called, I love to do that. A lot less stress than claims. Tons less stress than claims. So.
All right.
Let's see. Well, your dad, I think you guys have all talked that we went from California to Arizona, to Florida, to here. In 2010, I had found out my mom had breast cancer. Devastated us all. Did you want more wine?
Yeah, sure.
Sorry. Anyways, I found out my mom had breast cancer. My mom was very, very strong. My mom was never ill. And so it was very hard on all of us. Then about 3 months after that, I got laid off of my job. And I was okay. He was going to have to lay off somebody. I did not do the cold calls and stuff like that. So when I got laid off, it was to my advantage because I got to go spend time with my mom where I learned to quilt. So out of 6 months being out of work, my choice, of course, went broke during the time, but I learned to quilt, and I spent a lot of time with my mom, which I never would have had a chance to do if I didn't get laid off from my job.
Yeah.
And I used to say after we moved to Vegas, oh, I'm going to go work in one of those players clubs. That looks simple. So I applied, got a job right away. The one I worked at, a lot of work. Loved every minute of it. People would say, oh, it's so stressful. I'm like, are you kidding? This is a no-brainer job after everything else I've already done. 8 months after that, I got promoted to a supervisor of the Players Club. A year after that, I got promoted again to work upstairs in the marketing department. And just got a new position again about 7 months, 8 months after getting that new position. It's pretty much the same thing I do now, but just a new title. I have two great bosses. Couldn't ask for better bosses. I love my job. You think going to having your birthday on a Monday and having to work, it's like, I love what I do. I love where I work. I love my bosses. Life is simple. Life is great. There's so many bad things out there, and I have nothing to complain about.
Yeah. I learned pretty good work ethic from you guys, because you know Dad never misses a day. You never miss a day unless you're super sick. And even when me and Shaylin were in school, you know, we never missed school.
Well, I never allowed you guys to miss school. Like people take their kids out to go to Disneyland or grandma's in town for a week, take off. No, that's not. And that's just something that I always believed in. You needed to go to school. There's no reason to take off of school. You have weekends. You have all the holidays. So you guys were never allowed to have a day off.
Yeah.
I was strict in that. I don't think I was mean. I would think it was just strict. But you guys got awards for perfect attendance.
Yeah.
Then you guys wanted the awards. So you didn't want to be out. So even if you weren't feeling good, you still wanted to go to school. So yeah. Because you wanted to get that perfect attendance award, which, as you guys see, you guys are never out at work either.
Yeah. it carried over pretty good.
It does. You look at the people who always get taken out of school, or, oh, it's no big deal, or this or that. They're out of work all the time. It's no big deal to miss work.
Yeah.
You know, in the 5 years you've worked, how many times you've been out sick? Twice? Maybe three times?
Yeah, just a few times.
Yeah. You know, same with your sister. It's just, there's no reason to miss work unless you're extremely ill. You know, yeah. You can always go. Mainly if you don't get paid, if you don't go, it makes it even harder.
Yeah. What was it like when your mom was dying?
It was really hard. It was, at the same time, the one thing that got me through was the fact that I had my mom tell, she died 2 weeks after she turned 80. So the fact that I had her, you know, for 53 years of my life, how lucky I was. And that's what I had to keep putting in my mind. Knowing she was going to die, because I guess we just always thought my mom was going to live forever, ever. And we even told, it was very open when she was dying. Everything that went on, there was nothing hidden. We knew, you know, her funeral. Well, we weren't doing a funeral, but we knew what, you know, how, you know, the cremation. We knew everything about her finances. We knew everything. Nothing was ever hidden. My mom was, you know, very open, which was very good. But I remember saying, Mom, you know, we thought you were supposed to live forever. And she says, what, watch each one of you die and then I can die? No, thank you. And I went, yeah, you know what? You're right. I would never want to watch my children die. So, you know, it just came to look is just, I was so lucky. I have a friend who lost her mom, I think, when she was 6 years old or younger. And then she lost her dad because her dad went to jail for beating her mom. So she didn't grow up with a mom and dad. So when you look at something like that, you can sit there and say, God, how lucky am I?
Yeah.
Or you look at the girls who lose their mom when they're 13, 14, going through puberty or, you know, whatever, or right before they're getting married. They didn't have that. Yes, we didn't have a big wedding. We went to Vegas and got married and came back and have a party. It doesn't matter. I had my mom there. Or, you know, the ones who couldn't call their mom with a question when their kid was sick at 3 in the morning or, you know, or even the next day, Mom, what do I do? I had that.
Yeah.
I had all of that. So when you, instead of looking at the bad and then looking at the fact that, Mom, you know, if this is what's taking you, and I've told my mom, you know, a couple times, if breast cancer was what was going to take your life, how lucky I am that it didn't take it till now.
Yeah.
You know, for everyone who's lost their parents at such a young age. I'm very lucky. I had my mom for 53 years of my life. I had her through all my children growing up. No, she doesn't get to see any of my children get married. She did get to see Tabitha's kids.
Yeah.
And Tabitha get married. So that's a plus. You got to see one of the kids get married, but not all of them. But that's okay because she had like 21 grandchildren, 21 great-grandchildren, I think, when she passed. I'm not sure. I'm probably all off on their numbers. All her children were still living. Very lucky. She never had to bury a child. She did have to bury a grandchild, which is very sad. But the fact that I had her, and that's what got me through. Every time it would be hard, and you'd want to cry, or you'd, poor me. It wasn't poor me. I'd have to go back to how lucky I was. You know, she was still driving up to about a month and a half before she died. She was still driving.
Yeah.
I think she quit driving about a month and a half because you guys were in there in September. Is that the last time she drove?
Yeah.
The middle of September or something?
Because I think when I was up there, we went somewhere.
Did she drive?
I think so.
Yeah. I think she stopped driving about a month to a month, about a month and a half. Before she passed away, closer to when she had to start using her oxygen more.
Yeah.
So other than the last 3 weeks of her life, which were, I think, hell on us, she probably doesn't remember a lot of it or whatever, I wouldn't trade it for a minute because she was healthy all the way up to the end.
Yeah. That's one of the things that I'm most thankful for is that, because, you know, Grandma was a really strong person. She always, you know, even when things were, like, crap or whatever, you know, she was always just thankful for what she had.
Yes.
And you've always been like that, and that's one of the things that I picked up. Because I'm just, you know, like, even when I was working and my boss was terrible and stuff, I enjoyed going to work to see the people that I did like there.
Yes.
and I would find the things that I liked about where I was, and I could be happy with that stuff instead of focusing on, like, the negative stuff.
Healthy, happy people are non-sick people. The people who are unhappy are usually sick, or a lot sicker more. But no, Grandma was always that way. She was always that way, no matter what, you know? Well, you know, there's something worse. And there is. Somebody could sit there and say, you know, I have problems with my hands. Well, at least I have hands. You always have to find a positive in something. I'm not perfect. I don't want your viewers to think I'm perfect. I'm not. I can be a bitch, and I can be, you know, hateful. And
they,
huh?
They don't view it. They listen.
Or listen, whatever.
Yeah.
But the majority thing is what I'm at, as Grandma Jane was. As I am, I'm a glass half full. I'm never a glass half empty.
Yeah.
I always, no matter what, try to find something positive out of a situation. You have to. If not, what's the reason to live, continue to live?
Yeah.
Let's see what else I had. You kind of went over what I was like as a small child.
What did you think I would be like when I got older?
You know, I don't think I ever looked to the future for you guys. I mean, that may sound weird, but I don't think I ever did. Thought, oh, you're going to be whatever, this or that. I mean, every kid dreams you're always going to be a fighter jet pilot. You know, whatever
happened
to that,
I wanted to be a fighter jet pilot, and then I wanted to be dad.
Yeah.
And then...
But your dad said you couldn't be because that's a terrible job. It was an ending job.
And then, I don't even know. I think after that, I probably decided I wanted to be an architect.
Yeah. I mean, just to give you an idea, people sit there and say, and if anybody listening, having trouble in their life, you know, Nathan's dad just missed getting laid off again. He will be laid off soon based on the type of business he's in. Within the next 1 to 2 years, he will be out of a job at the age of 55 or 57. But we don't dwell on it. We just keep going on. And when it happens, it happens. Well, the house will go back to the bank. We'll move into an apartment or a rental and continue to live on. There's no sense of going, oh me, oh my, what are we going to do? Because there's nothing we can do about it. So you make the good money while you can. And when it happens, oh well, you just go back to, you know, easy living.
Yeah.
You know. But with you guys, I don't think I never said, oh, I want you to be a doctor or a lawyer. I never, because that is just something you have to find out on your own. I was hoping you would continue your architecture because you wanted to. You were such a Lego builder. I think you got steered away from your dreams in high school and by dating the girl you were dating, which I was totally against.
Yeah.
Because I think if you weren't dating her, you would have done the internship and done a couple other things, and maybe you would have been working for an architectural firm. However, you've been working for the same company for 5 years. It's not a bad company. It's a company, and then when you were graduating from high school or whatever, the architecture at that time, who knows if you even had a job if you got in.
Yeah.
Because of the economy and everything, you know, crashing. But you've been at the same business company for 5 years, which I think is great. And you know, you're trying to move on up, which is great. So it doesn't really matter. All that ends up is that you can make enough money to feed yourself. Well, you live off of us right now, but we allow that so you guys can have nice cars. Get yourself established. You can't, it's too expensive to move out by your own. But if, you know, one day when you have a wife and a child, or even a wife, or even not, or whatever, you need to be able to support that, and that's all that matters. And as long as you're happy, I don't really care if you just have enough to live in an apartment and make ends meet, as long as you're happy. Yeah. That's all that matters.
What did you want to be?
Really? I wanted to be a wife and mother. God, I don't know why. Seriously.
Well, that was kind of like the...
We were just starting to come in more. There. Yeah, you could still want... And I had a high school boyfriend, and that's all I was going to be. I was going to be his wife, and I was going to be the mother of his children, and never even thought past that. We broke up. It was a good thing we did. I mean, I love this boy to death, but his mom never liked me, so that would have been problems. But I was still struggling with who I was and things that happened in my past as a child, and I didn't think I was good enough for him, so we broke up. And I did that many times when there was a really good guy around. I'd break up because I didn't think I was good enough for him. Thankful that we never got together, because I don't know if I'd be married and unhappy or if I would have been divorced.
Yeah.
But that's all I wanted to be. But then I was working, and, you know, when I met your dad, I'd been working for a while. Then I had you guys. And when I got laid off from the first, that one job that I'd been at for 15 years when they moved my department, I was at home on unemployment going crazy. I had to get back to work. I would sit at home, and I took care of the neighbor's kids for a while, and you would ask me all the time, when am I going to get a job so you can go back to daycare? Because you love daycare so much.
I don't remember that at all.
And, but I didn't know, at that point now, I didn't know how not to work. I can't see how women stay home and just take care of their kids all day and have no other adults to talk to.
Yeah.
I'd go crazy. I'd go absolutely crazy. So, like in the last, 10 years, 11, 12, 13 years, something like that. What is it? 13 years, I've actually had jobs that I absolutely love to go to.
Yeah.
I've been very lucky that I've loved to go to these jobs in the last 13 years. And it makes life easier when you have a job that you like. And when you have a boss that doesn't, you don't get along with, or mainly the bosses, the coworkers, you can tell them off. Sometimes the coworkers do make it hard, but when it's a boss, it makes it very hard.
Yeah.
It makes it very difficult to go to work. And you end up being sick more or whatever, and your production can go down or whatever because you're not happy. But when you have some place you like, it's just, you know, I work at a casino right now in the marketing department. Absolutely love everything I do.
Yeah.
Don't mind if I have to work 10 hours in a day. It just goes by. I don't even know I've worked that long. So.
Yeah. Did you have any, like, hobbies or passions, like, when you were younger? Because, like, Dad had his guitar and stuff. But I don't really hear about anything that, like, you did all the time.
No. I had no hobbies. I had no passions. I had no... You guys probably thinking I'm a sad person. I had a difficult childhood. I did nothing. That's really sad. I was just trying to keep my head above water all the time, I think. Like I said, I don't remember a lot of my childhood, based on the trauma I went through, but I don't think I had anything.
Really?
Yeah, it's really sad, but no.
Hmm. Yeah, because I don't know. I don't know how that must have been, man. Because I got, like, all my stuff that I do on the side, and Dad had his stuff. Shaylee has her stuff. What did you do? I guess you just always had your siblings around, so you always had people around with you.
Yeah, I mean, I hung out with friends. I never went to concerts, ever. I never been to a concert other than at school, where everybody else seemed to have gone to concerts. I never did. We never had any money as kids. We never, like I said, we never went without. We always had food. We always had a roof over our head and had clothes. But we never had kids. I mean, money. We never had money for school rings or annuals.
Yeah.
Or I guess you call them yearbooks now or something.
Yeah.
Or anything for any of that kind of stuff. So if friends were taking off here or there, we never had the money to go anywhere, you know, do that kind of stuff. We used to go to the cabin. My dad's parents had a cabin. And we would pile us and the neighbor kids all in the back of the pickup truck and then drive on up to the cabin. And then the scary about it, you didn't know it as a child, but now you do, is then you drive home back in the pickup truck with my dad drunk or been drinking all day.
Yeah.
Come back home. But I didn't really read. I guess in high school I learned to crochet and stuff. I got an A in crocheting at high school. I love to camp. I love to fish. We used to go fishing a lot, but that's... I guess it's sad. When you really go back and think about it, there was really nothing. It was just...
Hmm. How cool am I?
You're very cool.
Yeah?
Yeah, you are. You're a very good young man. And you're very cool.
All right.
And very proud of you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I don't have any more questions.
You're not going to ask me to go on a date with you?
No, I don't ask family members to go on a date with me. That's weird.
Yeah, but I'd still go on a date with you if you were buying.
No, well.
I mean, I had to buy my own wine for my birthday.
Yeah, well, see, and we can't.
And you're drinking it with me.
We can't because we're both drinking wine and Shaylee's not home yet, so she can't be a designated driver.
Oh, I see she tried calling me, though, while we were talking.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, she probably got something good for dinner.
Quite a few people have called me while we were talking.
Oh, well, thanks for focusing on the podcast and talking with me. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about? Any more stories?
I don't know if there is any more stories. I mean, you know, you're very crazy, very shy, though, boy. You are very shy. But except for in Cub Scouts. I don't think you were shy in Cub Scouts. But other than that, you were a shy boy. So the fact that you're doing podcasts just blows me away.
Yeah.
That you can sit there and just talk and talk and talk.
Well, I'm not as good as some other people, but...
I do. I think you need to get all your aunts and uncles here when they're here next month. All visiting in cinema for a few minutes and see if you can get them on a podcast and have them all tell stories and stuff. And
first, I'd have to explain to each and every one of them what a podcast is because no one ever understands.
Well, yeah, Christy knows because she's listened to yours, but yeah, you would have to explain all that.
All right. Where was your favorite place that we've lived?
The favorite place we've lived? You know, I loved the house in Palmdale.
Yeah.
I did. I just loved, you know, all the neighbors and stuff that were there. I guess that would be my favorite neighborhood that we lived in. I loved Arizona. I love things about Florida. So it's, I have no problem living here in the desert. I know you don't like it, but I would say Palmdale.
All right, I guess that's the end of the podcast, huh?
Okay.
All right. You can come on some other time.
Okay. I don't know if your listeners want me back.
Boring. I don't know. Whatever. We'll see.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for being on, and thanks for listening. Now leaving popularoutcast.com. It's like the Nerdist, guys. This is the end.